Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. At least it is here. This is Brother John Wadsworth talking to you live from Pearl River, Louisiana, in an undisclosed location. And this is June, what day is it, 28th? It's June 28th, and 2023. And I want to congratulate the LSU Tigers baseball team for winning the College World Series. They did an excellent job, and they earned it. They earned it. And so I congratulate them. And today I'd like to talk to you about separation from the world and the importance of it, how what the Word of God says about it. We're still in Romans 1:1, and again, I'm going to read that. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, Paul was separated, and he was the man of separation. His purpose in life was focused on the gospel of God, the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life, would not perish, would have everlasting life. And so that's what the gospel was, and that's what Paul dedicated his life to. He was separated to that message. I believe all believers in their lifestyle, in their mannerism of life, are called to that same of the gospel. You might not say it audibly, but your walk expresses that. And we're going to go over some verses that pertain to that. And mainly it's going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. We'll discuss that for a few minutes. The world is encroaching in on the church, and that's nothing new. The world and Satan hates God's system, God's salvation. He hates the church and the fellowship of believers, and his world system is continuously fighting against the church and pressuring it and trying to dilute its message and the message of the church, or the appearance of the church, or the power of the church in the world. And there's a lot of false churches out there that Satan has taken over. And there's nothing new. He's always had his false temples and false churches that are in the world. You know, I was thinking about how that you've seen all of these temples to all of these gods, Zeus, Apollos, Athena, and they're all the same gods. It just depends on what country or what civilization that was in power was named them. But there's always been a counterfeit out there that would try and draw away from the true God and the true message and the true salvation for mankind. And we're going to discuss that a little bit as we go over these verses today in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Unequally yoked. A yoke is a tool that is used to do work with and to live a life. Okay, you get a yoke is like I always think of two animals that have this connection or this bar or this apparatus that keeps them working together. And they live together, they do work together, they accomplish things together. And so we are not to be yoked together with unbelievers. And what's that mean? That means that You don't think like a non-believer. You don't live your life with non-believers. You don't socialize with any depth with non-believers. You're not yoked together with them. And of course, and he'll go into this further, you don't worship like non-believers worship. And like it says here, he goes on, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what he means there is that our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. He made us righteous in the eyes of God because we believed in him. And so the righteousness that we have, God recognizes and honors because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, an unbeliever is going to have another type of God. Might be themselves. It might be some voodoo God, or back then they had Apollos, and they had Zeus, and they had Athena. They had all kind of gods for different things. It's like the Roman Catholic Church. I love the people that attend there, but they're non-believers, okay? The Roman Catholic Church has all kind of quote-unquote saints. I'm a saint. Anybody that's a believer in Christ and the righteousness that has been given to them by their faith in God, in Christ, is a saint. So, and that's what he's saying here. And in the same verse, and what communion hath light with darkness? That's the comparison he's making here. Paul's making it. It's that plain. Daylight versus darkness. Light versus darkness. There is no light in unbelievers. They walk in darkness. God created us to worship him and in truth and through Christ. But man has sought out many inventions. This is the book in 2 Corinthians. And the city of Corinth was a very wealthy city, big city, popular city. It was a seaport. It also had games, like Olympian games there. And so you had a lot of people there and a lot of people that came through. Well, the city had 23 different temples to 23 different gods, okay? And that's why he's saying here, what communion hath light with darkness? You had all kind of gods that were dark, that were satanic in their development, in their meaning, and anything, and it took away from worship of Jesus Christ. Okay, so verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What harmony, like a yoke, going back to the yoke, how can a non-believer and a believer accomplish anything if one's believing in a false god and Satan and the other one's believing in Christ? They can't get along. They can't accomplish anything. And so that's why there has to be a separation from non-believers. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you don't, you got to work. You go to work, you're going to work with non-believers. You go out, you might have some relatives that are non-believers. You might have a working associate that's a non-believer. And so you're going to come across people that are non-believers. That's why this separation has to be there, because of your testimony or your walk is going to speak to the non-believer and convince them that what you have is the truth, and they need to believe like you believe and not give up their false gods or God, their false worship of God. And so that's what he's saying, called, what harmony does Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? An infidel is a non-believer. And these are some quote-unquote harsh words, but that's how distinct and important this separation has to be. and I believe a lot of Christians do not have this distinction of separation in life, and they don't look at it this seriously, because this is what makes a person being drawn to the Christ because of your separate walk and mannerism. Okay. And look at verse 16. This is what Paul says about all these other believers, all these other religions. They are infidels. Okay. Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Remember what I just said. They had 23 different temples to different gods in Corinth. And that's what he's writing to these people in Corinth. And he's saying here, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And that's the point. A good point is that all of these temples that are built to all of these gods, at the end of last year in December, I went to Ephesus. And we took a tour of Ephesus, and we went to where the amphitheater was, where Paul preached for 2 hours and walked among the ruins and in there. But when we was coming back, that was the big city for the worship of Athena. Now, Athena was the goddess of fertility. And so we were leaving and going back to the ship, and they said, to the right, way back, over on the out in the woods there, or was the ruins of the huge temple of Athena. It's ruins, but it was a big temple, and all of these people made their temples to these false gods to exalt them, so that, to their importance, to strengthen their belief. But look what Paul says here, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the temple of God is not some building that's made by man, so man can brag about how beautiful a temple they built to this false god. And God created you, and so he's using his creation to worship him. And as he says here, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So you are a walking temple, and that is why you're to be separated, and so that people can see your God's temple being animated, and not some building that man brags on how well he built to his God. No, God created you, and his creation is where he is to be worshipped. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, again, here's the separation. Touch not the unclean thing. Have nothing to do with these false temples and this false worship of other gods. Even the Catholic Church has a false worship where they exalt other saints, quote-unquote, other, quote-unquote, satanic gods like Mary and like these other, I don't know, like St. Christopher, all these others. That's taken away from the true God of Jesus Christ and the true worship of God in this body. Verse 18, and will I receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Do you have that personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, who created you and walks in you and talks to you and fellowships with you? Or do you ignore that fellowship because you're more interested in fellowship non-believers? Be separate from the world. Be separate from non-believers. And God will give you other believers to fellowship with, and walk with, and you can walk yoked together praising him. God bless you. You can get in touch with me by wsm217@gmail.com. wsm217@gmail.com.